Chapter 20. Language. For Niels Bohr, a key part of understanding quantum phenomena involved the ability to describe our observations. In Bohr's words, we had to solve the problem of using the right words. To quote Schrödinger, if you cannot, in the long run, tell everyone what you are doing, your doing has been worthless. Every considerable advance in science involves a crisis in communication. The world of the quantum doesn't easily lend itself, however, to ordinary language. It is challenging to find language for a world that is beyond the reach of our imagination. Language itself is a tool of the imagination. One way or another, imagination becomes embodied in and through language, while at the same time, language takes on form through imagination. Every language carries within it a prevailing worldview that informs not only our thinking and perception, but our imagination as well. Language shapes our ability to imagine the possibilities inherent in our world. Our relationship to our creative imagination not only gives shape and form to progress in the arts and sciences, but to our daily lives as well. Though defying the standard forms our imagination takes, quantum physics at the same time opens new possibilities to the imagination. Speaking about the quantum dimension of reality is as much a problem of language as of physics. Our language, however, is based on daily experience, and atoms are not. To quote Bohr, when it comes to atoms, language can be used only as in poetry. The poet, too, is not nearly so concerned with describing facts as with creating images. The mind-expanding insights of quantum physics cannot be contained within the bounds of ordinary technical scientific discourse, and in Heisenberg's words, it's precision-oriented language. The need for poetic language to describe the behavior of the quantum realm signifies a breakdown of the traditional metaphor of a clockwork or mechanical universe. Particles do things we would never dream of them doing in pre-quantum or classical physics. Plato, in dealing with the limitations of precise language, according to Heisenberg, switched to the language of poetry, which evokes in the hearer images conveying understanding of an altogether different kind. Language falls short and only goes so far. Many of the revelations of quantum physics can only be pointed at by images and parables. The new physics demands an imprecise language that, instead of simply describing facts, evokes pictures in our mind, along with the notion that these pictures allude to and have only a vague connection with reality. Expressing the probabilistic and indeterminate nature of the quantum world, these inner mental pictures represent only a tendency toward reality. Reflecting Bohr's notion of complementarity, physics has found itself using ambiguous language, which reflects the principle of uncertainty that characterizes the quantum world. Misunderstandings can be engendered by a careless use of language. To quote Wheeler, we humans have limitless power to confuse ourselves with words. Modern physics deeply suffers from the tension between the demand for complete clarity and precise language on the one hand, and the impossibility of expressing quantum phenomena in unambiguous language on the other. We cannot, for example, speak unambiguously about the behavior of an electron in an atom. Though the imprecise and ambiguous language and images used in quantum physics can never fully correspond to the meanings they are trying to express, they help to draw us closer to the truth of their meaning. As poet and philosopher Friedrich Schiller wrote, "Truth dwells in the deeps." Nature has its own language, and we are being asked to learn it. The quantum renders and makes reality into language. Theologically speaking, it's not that the gods have fallen silent. Rather, we have become unable to see or hear them. Though quantum theory has given us new understanding, we still use the old words. Our current language is steeped in the pre-quantum classical world of objects. Our language is thus a potential agent for reifying the classical world model. Through our unconscious use of language, we are unwittingly putting ourselves under the spell of a false world image. Our language not only shapes our worldview, but our world and ourselves as well. In a sense, it defines us. Most physicists still speak and think with an utter conviction of truth in terms that regard the universe as being constituted of aggregates of separately existing building blocks. As Wittgenstein writes, a picture held us captive, and we could not get outside of it, for it lay in our language, and language seemed to repeat it to us inexorably. Our language is potentially, when used unconsciously, an instrument to hypnotize ourselves. Language is like a net spread out between people in which our knowledge, thoughts, and beliefs are inextricably enmeshed and reinforced. To quote Bohr, we are suspended in language so that we don't know which way is up and which is down. Language is an all but invisible hand that structures thought and modes of thinking. Linguistics, to quote linguist Benjamin Lee Whorf, is fundamental to the theory of thinking, and in the last analysis, to all human sciences. It is helpful to remember to exercise our awareness of the quantum nature of the world so as to overcome the trance-inducing influence our language has over us. Language and thought are bound together, and both can exert an undertow towards the classical world via forces that are as strong as they are unconscious. Language can easily entrance us into a particular way of viewing the world. For example, the word matter has an etymological connotation with the word mother, mater, as if to invoke the idea that matter is the mother, the source of everything. When we say that something doesn't matter or is immaterial, what we mean is that it's not important. This is to unconsciously conflate something being material and having importance, as if matter is seen as sacred and materialism is its religion. Another example, when we say that doesn't make sense, we are unconsciously making an equivalence between being in our senses and being meaningful, as if when something isn't in our senses, it is meaningless. And yet, quantum physics tells us that the most fundamental part of the world is invisible, outside the realm of the senses. Our language has encoded within it a hidden built-in ideology that unconsciously brainwashes us in ways that many of us don't notice. Language is a pool of meaning in which we all drink as well as contribute. It is the cardinal instrument by which our individual worldviews are linked so that a shared common reality is constructed. What is actually subjective becomes seemingly objective, particularly when it is agreed upon by groups of people. Language is not a fixed or static thing, but an ever-evolving medium always in need of being updated and refreshed so as to keep pace with our constantly evolving consciousness. Language is never a finished phenomenon, but a dynamic and creative activity that requires our words and ourselves to be born anew. Wheeler created numerous new names for things that would help other physicists expand their viewpoints on fundamental concepts in physics, the term black hole being a case in point. Instead of telling others that he was coining a new phrase, he would typically just start using it as though it had always been used, and almost overnight, all other researchers in the field of black hole physics would start using Wheeler's newly minted phrase. Showing the power of finding the right names, by naming it, he helped to create the idea of black holes in countless minds. Over time, he embellished the phrase, using the pithy slogan, "A black hole has no hair." Wheeler was thinking about a room full of bald people, and how hard it is to tell them apart because they show no differences in hair length, style, or color. Similarly, black holes lack the hair that more conventional objects possess that give them their individuality. To quote Wheeler, no hairstylist can arrange for a black hole to have a certain color or shape. It is bald. Language is not merely a means of communicating ideas about the world, but an instrument for bringing the world into existence in the first place. What we find in the world is the result of the way we talk about the world. When we create a new way of talking about the world, we virtually and literally create a new world. Language is truly creative. Our experience of reality is not merely expressed in language, but is actually produced by language. The need for updating new forms of language is not just a psychological need, but a social one as well. The power of a new way of looking at the world and the power of its effective dissemination into that very world are interconnected. A new type of language needs to be created that is qualitative rather than exclusively quantitative. Conventional scientific language is based on verifiable measurements and is hence descriptive. Based on the participatory nature of the new physics, the new form of language needs to be more depictive, somehow evoking its qualitative character. To quote Feynman, the next great era of awakening of human intellect may well produce a method of understanding the qualitative content of equations. We have to create a new language that calls forth and transmits novel images in and through the medium of the shared collective psyche. We have to create a new language that evokes and helps us see and understand the interconnectedness which underlies and informs all phenomena. Interestingly, at the same time of the advent of quantum physics, modern art was becoming more evocative and less reproductive. In using language to describe the quantum, we run up against the limits imposed by the logic and grammar built into the language we are using. The English language, relying on nouns, separate things interacting, does not coincide with the actuality of the underlying quantum process informing our world. The more we develop intellectual concepts, and the more abstract our thinking becomes, the more we run the risk of having our language become dissociated from the fundamental ground of being. A language composed of living words that discloses reality can only develop and organically emerge from intimate, direct experience of the reality of the Logos, which is the ground of language itself. The quantum is a transcendental realm that cannot be adequately expressed in terms of language or our Western philosophical views, which are contained within categories of space and time. The real problem, to quote Heisenberg, was the fact that no language existed in which one could speak consistently about the new situation. The ordinary language was based upon the old concepts of space and time. The challenge is to create a new language that partakes of, as well as unites, the seemingly opposite realms of the physical and the psychical. Pauli writes in a letter, "For the invisible reality, of which we all have small pieces of evidence in both quantum physics and the psychology of the unconscious, a symbolic psychophysical unitary language must ultimately be adequate, and this is the far goal which I actually aspire. I am quite confident that the final objective is the same, independent of whether one starts from the psyche, ideas, or from physis, matter. Therefore, I consider the old distinction between materialism and idealism as obsolete." Elsewhere, Pauli writes, "I suspect that the alchemical attempt at a unitary psychophysical language miscarried only because it was related to a visible concrete reality. But in physics today, we have an invisible reality of atomic objects in which the observer intervenes." As Pauli points out, our task is to create a unitary language that relates to, evokes, and reveals the deeper invisible reality. Everyday language is infused with the notion of time. We cannot use a verb without choosing a tense. The linguistic rule built into the fabric of our language is that verbs have to do something to the nouns, as if the verbs and nouns are two separate entities that are being combined and engaging in a certain way. In the quantum world, there are only verbs. There is only process. This is why Buckminster Fuller wrote a book called "I Seem to Be a Verb." In the realm of the quantum, there is no distinction between the actor and the action. The subject-verb-object structure of the English language, which is also common to the grammar and syntax of many other modern languages, can easily sustain, propagate, and reflect fragmentation through being bound by the logic of space and time. The underlying structure of our language, and of our thought, tends to divide things into seemingly separate and static entities. The divisions implied in the structure of our language then appear projected as if they were actually existing fragments in the outer world. Category errors abound in our language, which only reinforces the tendency to make this kind of error in thought. Language has trouble enough describing what is in front of us, not to mention behind us or within us. In light of the new dynamic worldview emerging from quantum physics, however, we have to develop a new form of language to describe the heretofore unnavigated realms that the new physics has stumbled upon. To quote Wheeler, "How can we hope to move forward with no solid ground at all under our feet?" Then we remember that Einstein had to perform the same miracle. He had to re-express all of physics in a new language. Based on the process-oriented nature of the quantum realm, our new language should be based more on verbs than on nouns, and more on action, events, and movements than on static things. We cannot speak about atoms in ordinary language or in the typical concepts we use to describe ordinary physical objects. To quote Wheeler, "The kind of physics that goes on does not adjust itself to the available terminology. The terminology has to adjust in accordance with the kind of physics that goes on." If we are up to the task of somehow translating the revelations of quantum physics into communicable language, its effects can become contagious, virally spreading the psychic wildfire through the human psyche such that it liberates and unleashes a latent creative energy lying dormant in the collective unconscious of humanity. Being symbolic, languages, mathematics, and physics are meant to stimulate higher brain functions, which can potentially awaken within us the experience of our interconnectedness with all that lives. Human language is a remarkable form of information processing, capable of expressing anything that can be put into words.